Turn your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, we'll be reading three verses. Matthew 6, once you've found that, if you'll please stand in honor of reading of God's Word. Again, Matthew chapter 6, we'll begin verse number 19. You'll join with me on verse number 20, and then I'll read verse 21 of Matthew chapter 6. Again, beginning in verse number 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And let's pray this morning. God, again, we need you. Lord, we're a needy people, and the time it comes to hear from you, do pray for Brother Luke as he brings the message. I pray that you'd help him. Lord, empower him as he preaches. Lord, I pray we'd have listening ears and open hearts for what you have for us. God, again, so good to be in your house. I pray you'd bless the special, prepare our hearts for the message. In your name we pray. Amen.
For the opportunity. I know that when the pastor of a church is not in the service, that it's just a different feeling, kind of a weird feeling, just something different about it. But I hope that we'll have a good time this morning out of God's Word. That's really the thing that matters, is as long as you have God's Word, you can get a blessing from it. And I know that whenever one of us assistant pastors preaches, there's one thing on everybody's mind, and that's we're going to get out of here early. Or at least that's the hope. So I didn't think that that I would need any help, though. This morning I came in, and I was working in the back there and in the office, and the clock said 8:22. And I come in the auditorium to kind of make sure everything's ready up here, and I just happen to glance up at the clock up there, and I thought, wait a minute. I know I just looked at that clock in the office at 8:22. That said 8:52 up there. I said, somebody is really trying to work this so we get out really early. So we'll see how it goes this morning. But I am glad that you're here, and I don't take this lightly, and I hope that we'll get something out of God's Word this morning. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll get on with the service this morning. Father in heaven, I really need your help this morning. I need your help not to try to impress anybody or try to look good. I just need your help, Father, to convey the truths from this book here to the folks that are sitting in the auditorium this morning. So I ask you, please take control of me. Give me your power. Give me your spirit. Spirit's leading. Give me clarity of mind, clarity of thought, clarity of voice. I ask in your name this morning, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, these are some of the most well-known verses in the Bible, no doubt. Matthew chapter number 6, 19 through 21. Everybody has heard these verses. If you've been in church for any length of time, you've undoubtedly heard preaching out of this passage. This is part of one of the most famous sermons preached in the Bible. This is part of Christ's Sermon on the Mount that begins in Matthew chapter number 5 and extends through Matthew chapter number 7. A pretty long sermon, no doubt. There are two commands given in verses 19 and 20, and then a statement of wisdom there in verse number 21. Now, the first command is obvious. It's very clear. Christ is trying to convey that his followers are not to focus their attention on laying up earthly treasures. And we've heard sermons along that line over the years. The dangers of materialism, or for a Christian to get trapped in the pursuit of things, and how futile that is, because that really does not bring true happiness. But this command, verse number 19, is not really the focus of my message today, but it is important to stop and consider what this means to a Christian. And if you're familiar with the Bible, you know that that verse number 19, does not mean that it's a sin or it's wrong to have some money in the bank or a savings account or have some stashed away for a rainy day or be prepared for the future. We know that because of other scriptures. It would be easy to lift that one verse out of the Bible and make that kind of statement that it's wrong, but you have to compare Scripture with Scripture, or else you're going to get messed up. You can make the Bible say whatever you want it to say if you lift one verse out of context. You have to compare it. And in 1 Timothy chapter number 5, Paul wrote that if a man didn't provide for his family, for those in his house, he was worse than an infidel. Pretty strong language. And the book of Proverbs tells us, a good man leaveth an inheritance for his children's children. And so, comparing Scripture with Scripture, we realize that it's not wrong to have some earthly treasure laid up, but rather, our focus, our attention, should be on what Christ says in verse number 20. It is clear that Jesus is placing an emphasis on focusing our attention on treasures that we won't see or handle during our time on earth here. Treasures that we won't see or handle until we get to heaven. And, of course, through our human nature, our tendency is to get it backwards. It's to reverse it. It's our tendency to spend more time involved in the pursuit of earthly things rather than heavenly things. Everybody's heard the old saying, out of sight, out of mind. And that is very true when it comes to laying up treasures for heaven. On earth, we can see a day coming when, you know what, this body is not going to be what it once was. I won't be able to work. I won't be able to provide. I need to do something to prepare for my future. But as far as heaven goes, I think we really live with heaven's a distant thought. We really don't live with heaven on mind. But Jesus said our focus should be there. And so I think for a Christian, a couple of questions we ask ourselves, how do we go about obeying this command? How do we go about laying up treasure in heaven? What even are the heavenly treasures that we're supposed to be laying up? To be honest with you, I'm not entirely sure. I don't think anybody's entirely sure. I've read some books. I've heard some preaching that I thought, I don't know. There's some places in the Bible where it's not that clear, and you got to be careful about going overboard. But I do know a few things that the Bible talks about when it comes to heavenly treasure. I know the Bible talks about a day called the judgment seat of Christ, when what we do here on earth will be tried. Our works, not when it comes to salvation, but when it comes to getting our reward in heaven. What we've done for Christ will last. What's spent for another pursuits will be wood, hay, and stubble, be burned up. I know that day is coming. I know the Bible also speaks about five specific crowns that will be rewarded in heaven. And this could be a sermon in and of itself, so I won't spend much time. But the Bible mentions five specific crowns: a crown of life, a crown of glory, a crown of rejoicing, a crown of righteousness, and an incorruptible crown that will be awarded to saved people in heaven. I know that Jesus told His disciples that there was mansions in heaven. So, obviously, there are treasures in heaven, even if we don't understand quite the height, breadth, and depth of it. I'm confident, based on Scripture, that there are treasures in heaven. And based on what Jesus said in Matthew 6:20, I believe that what we do on earth plays a role in what we can expect up there in terms of heavenly treasure. Why else would He tell the folks listening to Him, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven? And so my question for all of us today is, how are you preparing for the future? And that's, if you want to put a title on this sermon, I guess that's what it would be. How are you preparing for the future? And I know that the first thing that comes to mind, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Well, I'm trying to build up my savings. I'm trying to contribute to a retirement account. I'm trying to get out of debt or pay my house off. That's how we think in terms of the future, right? But that's not what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 6:20. What Jesus is talking about is what are we doing to prepare for our heavenly future? I hope we'll all ask ourselves that question this morning. That's my goal here. Ask yourself the question, what am I doing to prepare for my heavenly future? I hope that we'll all be fair enough with ourselves to be honest when it comes to this matter of preparing for our future. And the truth of the matter is, if we are honest, that most of us live like this is the last thing on our minds. And it probably is, honestly. We don't spend a lot of time thinking about it, but Jesus said that's what we should be focusing on. Now, a scarier thing than just not thinking about it would be not caring about it. And I hope that's nobody's stance on it this morning. But to not think about it, okay, you can fix that. To not care about it, likely there's a bigger problem there. You know, and some folks, honestly, like I said, a lot of us live like we don't think about it. Some Christians live like they don't care, and that's a problem. And so before we get into the main part of the message, let's just go back to talking about purely earthly financial terms, speaking about our future. If you were to ask someone, what are you doing to prepare for your future? And they were to reply, nothing. I am not worried about it. We'd probably say, okay, well, what if something happens to you? Don't you have things in place? Life insurance? Nah, it'll work itself out. All right, well, aren't you trying to build up some savings? Save some for retirement? No, man, I just believe in living in the moment. I use whatever resources I have available to me for my enjoyment in the here and now. Your opinion of that person would probably not be too favorable. You would probably think that's a very foolish person. That's a very irresponsible person. I hope I'm not making anybody feel bad. I know there's all kinds of different financial situations represented in the room here. I know it's not realistic for everybody to expect that they'll retire with a huge amount of savings and an awesome retirement account and completely debt-free. That's just not going to happen for everybody. But hopefully, nobody gets to retirement with that mindset, with no thought, with having prepared nothing for that time. And so could it be that our opinion of somebody who puts no second thought whatsoever and to preparing for their future, a foolish person, an irresponsible person, could that be the viewpoint of Jesus toward a Christian who has no concern or no second thought about laying up treasure in heaven? Why do I need to be concerned about treasure in heaven? It's heaven. That's good enough for me. Oh yeah, heaven's going to be great. Heaven's going to be wonderful. I mean, just the fact that it's not hell is pretty great, honestly. But again, Jesus said to lay up treasure in heaven. And to me, for somebody to have that attitude, I'm going to heaven. I don't, you know, that's good enough for me. I'm not concerned about laying up treasure up there. That's kind of be somebody my age, for example, saying, I'm not concerned about retirement. I'll have Social Security. Some of you folks will benefit from Social Security, and you're confident about that. People in my generation, we're a little shaky, you know. Some of these studies they're doing aren't looking too great. So that's kind of the same mindset, though. And we don't care as much, unfortunately. We don't think as much about our future in heaven as our future on earth. But we need to. Jesus said to lay up treasure in heaven. So how do you prepare for the future? Earthly speaking, it means that you live with the future in mind. There's coming a day when I won't be able to work. There's coming a day when I will need some help. There's coming a day when I need to benefit from something that I've set aside for this day. It means to designate something now, set aside something now for that day, right? And a lot of times that means a sacrifice for the present. If a person, after tithes, taxes, at the end of their week, they're left with $500. And they're living with the future in mind, they're going to set aside some of that for the future. So they set aside $50. Well, now they can only live off of $450. They can't enjoy the level of comfort, however much $500 would provide you. They have to live off of that $450. It's a sacrifice. I'm sacrificing now for my well-being later. And it would stand to reason then, if we are going to live with our spiritual future in mind, if we are going to lay up treasure in heaven, we need to set aside or designate some of our resources for that day. And there is no question about it. If we're going to lay up treasure in heaven, it is going to mean some sacrifice in the present time, in the here and now. So how can we live with our spiritual future in mind? And this is really the crux of the message this morning. What resources do we have to devote to laying up treasure in heaven? Now, if you're going to preach an exhaustive sermon on this topic, it could go on forever because we have much that we could devote to our future in heaven. We have much to devote to the topic of laying up treasure in heaven. But I'm not going to talk about everyone this morning. I'm just going to talk about one. If I were to ask this group of people, what is the most valuable resource that you as a person have? You probably have some people who say money and probably some people who say time. Those two things right off the bat are our most valuable resources. Now, obviously, if God does bless us with money, He expects, based on Scripture, He demands that we return some of that to Him. There was no doubt or arguing about it. It's scriptural to return some of that, what God's given to us, back to Him in terms of finances. But the focus of the message this morning is on investing just a little bit of time, some of our time, towards laying up treasure in heaven. Now, there are a lot of people who would say, you know what? I am short of money. There's a lot of folks in that boat. I never have as much money as I need. But there are probably just as many people who would say, I am short of time. I don't have time to do anything. That's usually the way it works, right? If you have time, you don't have money. If you have money, you don't have time. A few people have both. Some people don't have either. And that's not where you want to be. But who has as much time as they like? Time is a precious, precious commodity. It is not a renewable resource. It is taken away, sitting here as we speak. And so how do we take some of that resource, the resource of time that God has given us, and devote it, set it aside to laying up treasure in heaven? And I'm reasonable this morning. I know that there are many folks in this room who, you know, your week consists of waking up early, a long commute to work, long days at work, a long drive home, a bite to eat, some time with the family, and then, you know, then to bed. And that's 5, maybe 6 days a week. I understand that. I understand that time is not something that a lot of people have. And it's the same story, day in and day out. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. I'm not trying to be unrealistic about the time constraints that are placed on people today. But I believe there are a couple of ways that anybody, regardless of your situation, can devote some time in laying up treasure in heaven. I just have 2 points this morning, and then we'll be on our way this afternoon. The first one, how can you invest time towards laying up treasure in heaven? First one is invest time in your relationship with God. Take some time to invest in your relationship with God. I know some of people are thinking, okay, so how does that help lay up treasure in heaven? This is really where it starts. You know, you don't prepare for your financial future unless you have an income. And you don't lay up treasure in heaven without a strong relationship with God. When we develop that strong relationship with God, when we invest time in our relationship with God, we will be motivated to then do things that will result in helping us lay up treasure in heaven. To try and do that in our own power is futile. It reminds me of a verse in 2 Timothy where the Apostle Paul uses the phrase, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Having a form, having an appearance. It looks good. What I do looks good. You know, it looks all my service. It sounds good. I'm active, but denying the power thereof. No relationship with the God of the God that we need to have that relationship with. You can say, well, I can do this, or I do that. This is I serve in this area, and I serve in this area, and I do this, and I do that. Without that relationship, it's not going to work. You remember that Martha, when Jesus went to Lazarus' house, Martha was busy about much serving. She was active, buddy. She was getting with it. She was serving. She was working. She was sweating. And Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Martha, boy, that aggravated Martha. And she said, man, she turned to Jesus. Said, can't you get my sister to do something? And so Jesus said, Mary, get up, get going, do something. No, he said, Martha, she hath chosen that good part. Where was she at? She was at Jesus' feet, building that relationship with her God, spending time and making an investment of time with the Lord Jesus Christ while she could. You know, earthly relationships that are important to us require an investment of time if they're going to be what they ought to be. You know, successful marriages require an investment of time. And it's one thing for me to say that. It's one thing for all the husbands and wives in here to hear that and acknowledge it. But it's really another thing to go about doing it. Now, this is something as a young husband, I get reminded sometimes. You know what? You need to take some time. You have to make an investment of time if your marriage is going to be what it ought to be. And God, God is so good. God uses Scripture to point things out to us. But God can use other Christians to help us out. God can use anything to help point out a truth to us. I remember either making a phone call or receiving a phone call from a man here in the church during working hours. And I was talking to him, and during the course of the conversation, he said, yeah, I'm out taking my scheduled walk with my wife. And I thought, wow, I know that's a busy man. I know there's probably a million other things that he could be doing, but he is making an investment of time. He's making the sacrifice, really what it is, to make that investment of time in his marriage. And he said, you might say, well, that's overboard. That's crazy. It's a happy marriage. It's a successful marriage. That relationship was important to him. The same thing applies to a parent-child relationship. I pastor a church here in the area. Just last night, this message was on my mind. I was in the middle of getting it together. And the sign said something like this. How do your children spell love? And the answer was T-I-M-E. Time. I thought, wow, that's true. I know sometimes stuff has to get done. I know sometimes it's impossible. You got other things to do, but really and truthfully, we need to take that time. Now, like I said, I was on my way working on this message, and during the week, had a few finishing touches to put on it last night. Spent a little bit of time, about an hour or so, with Justin Carson last night. Time together with the family on the way home. Now my mind was already getting back to getting home and finishing this up and getting ready to preach this morning. So when we get home, you know, I'm heading to the book, and Carson in his little 2-year-old vocabulary said, "Daddy, Daddy, come hit the ball with a bat with me." And so, well, I didn't want to. I had other things to do that I wanted to do, but I this was my message, and this was I just seen that sign. So, what did we do? We went and hit the ball with a bat for about 15 minutes. And I know you can't always do that. You can't always drop everything. There's times when things have to get done. And I know there are times when time apart is beneficial to both child and parent. In just a couple of weeks, we'll be going off to junior camp. And there will be some happy parents there with their the bags and their kids and saying, "We've been looking forward to this since last year. You know, get those. See you later. Don't hurry back, you know?" I know there's times when that's beneficial, but in all seriousness, there's got to be some time invested if that relationship, that parent-child relationship, is going to be what it should be. And that goes for any relationship of value to us. Now, if our relationship with God means anything to us, it's going to take an investment of time. So how do you do that? How do I invest time in my relationship with God? It's very simple. This is nothing new, nothing you haven't heard many times before. It boils down to time in the Bible and time in prayer. Making the sacrifice to make an investment in time in reading the Bible and spending time with God in prayer. And we hear it so much that it really doesn't even register anymore. My guess is that most people in this room, you've either read your Bible for many years and you're still going to read it, or you haven't read your Bible in years and you're not going to do it. We just hear it so much that it becomes, like the Apostle Paul said, it becomes like sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. It's just noise. The preacher's up there preaching on spending time in the Bible, spending time in prayer. Yeah, whatever. When are we going to get out of here? That's just the way it is. How many in this room actually take time to open our Bibles and read God's Word? Not because we feel like we have to, not because we feel obligated to, but because we want to and we need to. It's important. It's important to make the sacrifice to make that investment in time. Why? Because as God's people, we need to know truth. If you don't have a good grasp of the truths in God's Word, and it we talk about things are bad in today's world, and they are, but things have always been bad. The world's always been bad. There's always been a need for God's people to know truth. You'll get swayed. You'll be deceived. You'll be shaken in your biblical beliefs if you are not founded and spending time in God's Word. If for those that do take time to read God's Word, there was a time when you started. I would encourage you to keep on going. For those that don't read God's Word, you know what? Everybody had to start somewhere. I wish I would have started younger. I started when I was 16. I haven't read my Bible every day since I started reading it. But the days that I have read it outnumber the ones that haven't. And you just got to get going. And making that sacrifice, making that commitment to invest time in God's Word. Start small, but be consistent. Reading God's Word. How many take time to pray? Spend time with God in prayer. It's preached regularly from this pulpit that having a prayer life doesn't mean that you spend an hour in a dark room on your hands and your knees in a quiet environment. That's not required to have a prayer life. Prayer is just talking to God. Now, 1 Thessalonians says to do it without ceasing all the time. It's talking to God throughout the day, whenever you can. Lord, whatever. Say whatever you talk to God. You say, "Well, I don't know what to say." Well, I know. If you're new and that's your position, you don't. How do I pray? I would encourage you. There's a series of messages called Prayer 101. Were preached here within the last couple of years. They're online. Good messages based off of the Lord's model prayer that would really be a benefit in getting you started having with a consistent prayer life. But just talk to God. Talk to Him about blessings in your life. A lot of times we go to God, we just complain. How about going to God and telling him we're thankful for what the good things that he's done for us? Talk to him about problems in your life. Who else are you going to talk to? Who else can fix them? He can. Talk to him about your worries. Talk to him about your likes and your dislikes. You say, that's weird. He's your friend. You know, he already knows it all anyway. Just talk to him. Ask him to help you. Ask him to help others. Just pray. Invest some time in prayer. You know, it would be a shame to get to heaven and not know anything about God or anything about his character because we failed to invest any time whatsoever in building our relationship with him. You said, you really think that's going to happen? I think it's going to happen. You know, folks don't go to church. Folks don't pray. Don't read their Bibles. Heaven's going to be a real surprise when they get there. And you might say, I'm still not convinced. How can investing time and building my relationship with God result in treasures in heaven? You know, it's a starting point. Like I said, you have to begin somewhere. You're not going to build a savings account, a retirement account, without bringing in income. And you're not going to build a relationship with God without investing some time in that relationship. It's just not going to happen. Invest some time in building a relationship with God. My second point this morning and final point is and lay up treasures in heaven by investing time in others. Lay up treasures in heaven by investing some of your time in others. You know, the best way to live for Christ is to invest some time in the spiritual well-being of somebody else. Let's think about how much of Jesus' time on earth, how much of his ministry benefited himself. Well, first of all, did it benefit him to leave heaven? No. That's a poor trade there. Did it benefit him to be born in a stable? No. To be a carpenter's apprentice? No. To be rejected by his own? To heal the sick, make the blind see, make the deaf hear, cast out devils, experience hunger and experience thirst and fatigue, not have a place to lay his head? Doesn't sound like he was serving his own self-interest at that point. Did it benefit him to be lied about, betrayed, mocked, beaten, spat on, whipped, crucified? No. So why did he do it? It was an investment in others. It was an investment in the whole world. The only one that could have done that. If we want to live for him, James chapter number 1, verse number 20 says this. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. To come to church on Sunday morning, sit for an hour, go home. To drop some money in the offering plate. No, that's good to come to church. I believe in it. It's good to give. But that's not what the Bible says. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. To visit. Sounds like an investment of time to me. The fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted for the world. Now, like I said earlier, I know that time is a precious, precious commodity, and you don't have a whole lot of it. Many of you don't have a whole lot of it. But I would encourage you to try and find at least a little time to invest in the spiritual well-being of someone else. There's plenty of opportunities. There's opportunities at church. My goodness. We've got a lot going on here, both on Sundays and through in the week. There's a lot going on. Many places to serve. Many places to make an investment in the spiritual well-being of someone else. But it doesn't have to be here. It doesn't have to be at church. You know, it could be someone in your family. Do you have a niece or a nephew or a grandson or granddaughter who's struggling spiritually and could use some guidance? That would be a wonderful opportunity for an aunt, an uncle, a grandparent to step in. And make an investment of time. Try to point them in the right direction. Spend some time with them. Talk to them. Try to show them the benefits of living for Christ. It could be a friend or a co-worker. Make an investment of time. And you say, well, you know, I could just see that going really bad. You know, they might mock me. They might make fun of me. They might reject me. What investment doesn't have some risk to it? You know, every investment has some risk to it. You at least try to invest some time in the spiritual well-being of somebody else. Paul knew the value of investing in others. In 2 Corinthians 12:15, he said, "And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you." He said, "My everything I am, everything I have, I will spend it all for the spiritual well-being of you folks." And then he lived that way, didn't he? My goodness. His whole life was devoted to others, making an investment in others. But he knew that because of that investment of time in others, he was laying up treasure in heaven. By the time he gets to 2 Timothy chapter number 4, he's almost done with his life. And he knows that. He writes in verse number 7 and verse number 8, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. That's how he summed up his time on earth, investing in others. A fight and a race. Sounds like fun, doesn't it? He said, I did all I could. I was spent. I was willing to spend more. I'm giving my life to the ministry. And then he goes on to say this, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. You know, I always thought about the crown of righteousness and that Paul mentions there in that verse, and linked it to the end of that verse that says, not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Well, if you love Christ's appearing, then you'll get the crown of righteousness. I mean, who's not ready for Jesus to come back, right? Who's not ready to go to heaven? I think we would all be okay with that, right? But as I was reading this, I saw there was a link between verse number 7 and the end of verse number 8. He said, I have fought a good fight, finished my course, kept the faith, spent my life for others. Henceforth, because of this, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. So, if we're going to love Christ's appearing, we're going to do like Paul did and invest in the lives of others. Then, there's a crown of righteousness laid up for us. It's about making an investment of time in others. Like I said, this is not an exhaustive sermon. This is not a end-all, be-all towards making an investment in heaven. But it is a couple ways to think, to live with the future on your mind. Not retirement, not death, our future in heaven. What are you doing to invest in your spiritual future? How are you preparing for the future? I hope you'll answer that question honestly this morning. If you're not doing anything, be honest with yourself. I'm not living with that on mind. All right? Here's a couple ways to get started. If you are, hey, keep going. Be encouraged. There's something that's waiting up there for us. It'll be there. It's not going to be in vain. Just being in heaven will be wonderful. But according to Jesus, there are opportunities to lay up heavenly treasure for when we get there. I don't claim to understand it all, to know it all. But I know that the book of Revelation does talk about some heavenly beings being up there and taking their crowns, their rewards, and casting them at the throne of God. We're not told whether this is the case or not, but we can only wonder if some of our rewards in heaven will be given back to Jesus at that judgment seat of Christ. The Bible talks about gold, silver, precious metals, precious jewels. The Bible talks about wood, hay, and stubble. I've used this in Sunday school class. I've used this in Bible class for the teenagers. When I get to that day, and I will, and so will everybody who's been saved. When we get to that day, I don't want to look at God, to look at Jesus, the one who died for me, the one with nails in his hands, nails in his feet, a hole in his side, scars on his brow, and say, Lord, here's what I have to give back to you, a pile of ashes. I want there to be something. I can say, Lord, it's not what it should be. It's not what it ought to be. But it's something. I tried to live with this day in mind. I tried to invest in my future. I tried to prepare for my future. Not just on earth, but do what you said, to lay up treasures in heaven. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, well, this doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I don't know anything about laying up treasures in heaven. I don't even know if I'm going to heaven. Well, that's the greatest investment of time you can make, is to spend a few minutes thinking about eternity. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Life on earth might end as we know it when we pass away, but it doesn't end for us. We go somewhere. Are you prepared for that day? Are you prepared for that day? Jesus died for your sin. He'll take you to heaven if you ask Him. That's the most wonderful decision you'll ever make. Then you can get started on laying up treasures in heaven. What are you doing to prepare for the future? Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning as we go to the Lord in prayer. Let me just ask a few questions this morning before we dismiss. How many would say, Brother Luke, I know that I'm saved. I've prepared for my eternal future by securing a home in heaven through the blood of Jesus Christ. If I were to die right now, I know that I would go to heaven. Would you slip your hand up in the air as a testimony to that fact? Thank you so much. If you take your hands down. Would there be one or more here this morning who would be honest and say, Brother Luke, you asked that question, do you know if you would go to heaven if you were to die today? And to be honest with you, I don't know if I would go to heaven if I were to die today. Would you pray for me? If that's you this morning, would you slip your hand up in the air where I can see it? Nobody else is looking. And just slip it right back down. All right. Thank you. All right. Is there anybody here this morning that would say, Brother Luke, somewhere along the message, the truths that are in God's Word spoke to my heart and made me think about how I'm preparing for my future, the investment that I'm making in laying up treasure in heaven. Something that was said this morning spoke to my heart. Would you slip your hand up as a testimony to that? All right. Thank you. In just a few minutes, the instruments will play. If you're not saved this morning, you would like to be saved, and come on down and talk to Brother Bragg right here at the front of the auditorium. We have men that will talk to men and boys, ladies that will talk to women and girls, if you would like to know that you have a home in heaven. If something spoke to your heart this morning, you'd like to spend a few minutes in prayer, the altar is open. Father in heaven, I pray that you would bless this invitation now as we go to you. Let's all stand. The instruments will begin to play. If you'd like to use the altar, now's the time to do it.